Amen. Thank you. I'd like to ask that you would turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 1 to 10 in just a moment. And as you are, I just want to urge you, it's so good to see all of you here. And there's no like little bitterness or stab in that. It was just really great to see all of you here this morning. It's wonderful. And I hope that you'll join us for the coffee fellowship. Our young families ministry is hosting that. And that's a lot of the parents of all these great children that you're hearing and seeing this morning. I want to ask you if you've ever had a senseless Christmas. A senseless Christmas. Because normally we think that Christmas ignites our senses. You know, first we have the lights, the carols, the scents of the tree, the wreaths, the food. Some of you are probably already tasting Christmas dinner, or maybe the cookies right now. Now, in most places, and even Fresno every now and then, the cold will nip at our nose. During Christmas time, we're going to get a little bit of rain, which is fantastic. And our touch, our sense of touch. Obviously, we love to hold our presents and tear into them. But it's really the touch of holding each other. It's the handshakes, the greetings, the kisses on both cheeks, sometimes three times. It's holding each other. I guess some of the kisses are under the mistletoe, too. All our senses can be engaged in Christmas. But have you ever had a senseless Christmas? I want you to think about what you would have experienced that first Christmas night. The smell of the manger and the animals, and probably the shepherds too. The sight of the glory of the Lord with the angels. The bite of the cold air, maybe the warmth of a fire. The sound of the angelic announcement. If you'd been eating something, you might have tasted something, but most all of your senses would have been fully engaged that first Christmas. But see, something happens over time, and it's been 2,000 years, and most of us, whether it's 5, 10, 20, 50, 70 Christmases, sometimes our senses, when they've been stimulated the same way over and over and over again, what happens? You just get a little bit numb. You don't really feel it. Is it like that for you? The first time you hear a song, or maybe you smell a perfume, you're exhilarated. You want it all the time, but then the 30th and 40th time, not so much. The first bite of kebab, baklava, berek, are you tasting it? Rolled ice cream, pumpkin pie, even the most delicious food, if you get it over and over and over again, you're done. It's tasteless. See, and I'm convinced that the same thing happens, or can happen, at Christmas time. That we hear the scripture read, but we've heard it year after year, and we begin to tune out. It doesn't grip our hearts anymore. We sing the carols again and again, and even if it's done in a really creative way, like it was this morning, we can completely miss the words. Did anyone else find themselves simply saying words but missing the entire message of the carols and the songs? Happens more frequently than we might like to admit. Now, the wonder is lost in repetition, and our Christmas celebration can become senseless. I mean, it'd be hard to imagine, but we become bored at the miracle of Christ's birth. Bored at God's one and only Son miraculously being born to a virgin. God, the living God, the creator of everything, becomes a human being.
And we are.
Or we check our watches, or we wonder who's playing next and what time the game starts, or you know, when can we eat or open our presents? I want to encourage you this morning that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be senseless. You and I can engage fully in the senses that God has given us as human beings as we celebrate our Savior's birth. Wouldn't you like to pass on to your children just more than food and presents and family gathering? Wouldn't you like to help them be amazed that God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Wouldn't you like to do that? See, a Savior has been born to us who is Christ the Lord. And sometimes we who are so familiar with Jesus can learn an awful lot from someone who meets him for the very first time. Someone who sees Jesus with new eyes, we can join them and experience once again with all our senses why Jesus came to earth. Why Christmas even exists. Luke chapter 19, page 781. Please follow along as I read that. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, I already like him, because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead. I knew I liked this guy. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This little guy wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He's a tax collector, he's despised, he's rejected, he's a betrayer of his people, but he had heard Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see him. Every one of us have people in our lives that we think in no way would be interested in seeing Jesus. You're going to have some people over to your house that you're wondering if you should even pray before the meal, because they're going to be there and they always give that snarky, snarly face. And you're not sure what to do. Well, this morning I want to encourage you that you might have them wrong. Their belt might be a little tight. Maybe that's why when they sit down they have that face. Maybe something happened on the way to your house. Maybe they've been experiencing some disappointment in their lives. Maybe they're remembering a loved one who's not here anymore. Would you please give people a chance to be interested in Jesus? Please withhold your judgment. We cannot see people's hearts. I don't believe there was anybody in Jericho that day who would have expected to see Zacchaeus up in a tree wanting to see Jesus. Some of you are here this morning, and you're not even sure why you're here. Because you're not really sure if you want to see Jesus. Just go with us, okay? Just let's go with it. Because this little guy wanted to see Jesus. Jesus was coming. So Zacchaeus climbs up into a tree. So you're Zacchaeus. Can you taste the dust? There's a crowd coming. Roads are not paved. A well-worn road would have been filled with dust. You're up in a tree, so it's coming up. Do you taste the dust? Can you smell the leaves that are around you? I'm wondering, can you see Jesus from afar? Now, this is not like a huge, huge tree, but he would have been up maybe 6 or 7 feet. Can you see Jesus? He's coming. There's a crowd in front of you, but you're over their heads. You're trying to see Jesus, and he's getting closer. Now, can you hear Jesus say your name? And he doesn't say it with a snarly face. He doesn't say, Zacchaeus. He says your name with enthusiasm, like he's been waiting, like you're a long-lost friend that he hasn't seen in who knows how long. Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus! Can you hear him call your name? Come down! I see you. You matter to me. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ would say that to you? If he said it to Zacchaeus, I believe your name is on his lips too. I'm coming over. I must be with you today. I love you. Can you feel your heart beginning to beat? Not just because you're afraid of falling out of the tree, but because Jesus, the one everybody wants to see, the crowd has come from who knows where, he is coming to your house. He never would have imagined that. Never. Your heart also might be beating because people are talking about you again. And this time you can hear it. You've always known that people judge you. You've always known that people look at you and, yeah. Mm-hmm. And everything you've always feared that they're saying about you, they're saying out loud. And they're saying it so you can hear it, and they don't care. They want you to know that they reject you. And they're shocked that Jesus has such poor taste that he would want to hang out with you. And all of a sudden, you're speaking. And you're saying, you know, half, I give, and if I've 4 times as much. And you're like, wait, did I just say that? Did I just empty my bank account because Jesus is coming over for lunch? Yes. Yes. And you can't believe that Jesus loves you. And if he loves you, you really can be changed and be different than you are. How's your heart? Is it beating right now, or are you yawning? The living God has come to planet Earth. He's become just like us, tempted in every way as we are. We now know he gives his life on the cross to pay the punishment that we deserve. And he's telling you right now, I want to know you. I want to be with you. And I don't know how he can do it, but he singles each one of us out and says, I love you and I want to be with you. Can you hear what he says next? Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. He's talking about you. As Jesus has called your name, you've actually, something's happened inside you. The Holy Spirit has touched you, and you say, you know, I do believe. I do believe that the living God has come. He loves me. And he'd rather save me than judge me. Can you accept that? Are you willing to say yes to that? See, that's why he's come. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. He's come for us. Don't let this Christmas be one where you are disengaged and desensitized. This morning, through the week, let this week be a week of transformation where you hear Jesus Christ say your name and invite himself over to completely wreck your life, to completely rearrange your life, and to rename you a child of the living God. Amen. Please stand.
And we'll sing Joy to the World. This is in the red hymnal.